The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, from verses 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, our subject to ponder prayerfully. What is prayer? There is a very short answer to that question, and I want to read it to you in the words of the Spirit of Prophecy of Testimony, Volume 7. And there we read from page 42, paragraph 3. Here is a very short and concise answer. I'm reading the second line down. Prayer is communion with God, the fountain of wisdom, the source of strength and peace and happiness. Prayer is communion with God. Follow very attentively, brothers and sisters, young people, as we let inspiration expand upon those words to really appreciate what inspiration is telling us. Prayer is communion with God. If that's what prayer is, what does that mean? And as I mentioned, follow attentively what inspiration the testimony of Jesus is letting us know what that means. Prayer is communion with God. There are two quotes that hopefully will answer our understanding that God has caused our minds to inquire. First quote is Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 106, paragraph 2, where we read, In prayer, we enter the audience chamber of the Most High. Prayer is communion with God. We enter into the audience chamber of the Most High, and we should come before Him with holy awe. That's the first statement, trying to understand what communion with God is in prayer is. Prayer is we enter into the audience chamber of God, of the Most High. And then, secondly, the next quote, it's Testimony, Volume 6. Page 393, paragraph 3, where it says, or paragraph 2, sorry, 393, paragraph 2. The word of the living God is not merely written, but spoken. The Bible is God's voice speaking to us, just as surely as though we could hear it with our ears. If we realized this, with what awe would we open God's word, and with what earnestness would we search its precepts? The reading and contemplation of the scriptures would be regarded as an audience with the infinite one. Can you combine those two statements together and get the answer? What is meant, what prayer is, communion with God? The first statement I read, in prayer, we enter into, in prayer we enter into the audience chamber of the Most High. And here, in the reading of God's word, we are hearing him speak to us, even as if we hear him with our own ears, and we are reading the Bible as in the audience with the infinite one. So, what is prayer? Communion with God. What does that mean? Prayer is not a one-way communication. It's a two-way conversation. Remember the statement I just read there? In the audience chamber of God, of the infinite one, we are in prayer. At the same time, we are in the audience chamber of the Most High, of the infinite one, in reading the Bible. In other words, what we often think when we pray, we do the talking. No, we do the talking and the listening. That is what prayer is, communion with God. Speaking and listening. Conversation. I learned this principle approximately when I was 27 years of age. We are told with what we were just singing here that in that song we were singing how that it is entering into the simplest form of speech that infants' lips can try. And as we were singing that there, that we were, it is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God can is near. And as you are turning your eyes to the Lord in prayer, as you are sighing to him for answers, you wait and you listen to receive the answers. There at 27 years of age, I was perplexed with a serious problem. And it was so serious, it reminded me of Jesus having to deal with some serious problems. And what did he do when he was met with a serious and an important decision? He spent all night in prayer. So I decided, Lord, I need to spend all night with you. You please help me here. And so with my appreciation of prayer, I went to him at 9 o'clock when everybody else was in bed, and I started praying. And I prayed from 9 to 12, midnight. And I kept on praying and praying, kept on talking to him. And then there came a sweet voice that said, John, you're doing all the talking. You're doing all the talking. I want to talk to you. Oh. And straight away there was a sense that came with what I've just been reading here. When you read the Bible, when you read Sister White's writings, remember Sister White's writings is the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. Oh, so the Lord impressed my mind. I want to speak to you. Go to the testimony of Jesus.
Ooh.
Because I was praying about my problem. Go to the testimonies. So I went to the testimony, to my library there, and I pulled out volume 2 of the testimonies, and I opened it randomly, and there was the description of my problem in every detail. And I spent the hours from 12 midnight till 5 o'clock in the morning just absorbing the answer to my problem, reading several pages, meditating, listening to God. Prayer, I discovered, was a two-way conversation. How we become familiar with prayer in kneeling down and praying to God and then saying, Amen, and away we go. That's not prayer. So again, does God have your full attention right now? What is prayer? Communion with Him? Listen to what He is saying as we read in our scripture reading. We're hearing Him say something to us, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. And as you take the Word of God, which we just read, was hearing God speaking to us through the Bible in the audience chamber of God. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So, what is God saying here? Yes, you are to pray, but He starts first of all with taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. You see the connection. You are taking the Word of God and you are entering the audience chamber of God through His Word. Spend time with the Word. And here comes the connectivity of this whole thing. I go to Great Controversy, page 599, because it says we are to take God's word and we are going to hear Him speaking to me. Great Controversy, 599. And there it tells you, how do you come to the word? How do you come to the word? It says, the Bible should never be studied without prayer. The Holy Spirit alone can cause us to feel the importance of those things easy to be understood, or prevent us from wresting the truths difficult of comprehension. So, I come to the Word with prayer. Never study it without prayer. In other words, as we've just been reading, when we come to the Word, we're entering into the audience chamber with God, because prayer is entering into the audience chamber with God. And now, as I come to the Bible, I am entering into the audience chamber with God by prayer. Then God will speak to you through the Word. Because the Holy Spirit alone can cause us to feel the importance of those things easy to be understood, right? They're easy to be understood, but we've got to feel them. They've got to be part of me. The Holy Spirit will do that. I've got to be in communication by prayer to do that. And then, or to prevent us from twisting the truths difficult of comprehension. Some things are hard to understand, and so we're in danger of putting our own construction on that. We need the Holy Spirit. I need to be in conscious communion, asking Him, help me here, and listening to Him. Let's read another very important quote from Steps to Christ in regards to the audience chamber of the Word. Steps to Christ, page 110, where I read in paragraph 1, there are many things apparently difficult or obscure, which God will make plain and simple to those who thus seek an understanding of them. But without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we shall be continually liable to wrest the scriptures or to misinterpret them. Can you see how this has come over from our Sabbath school lesson this morning? Because the Bible, the lamp goes out when we don't come to it like this. So, and now notice what Sister White says. If we are not praying and we are not in tune with the Lord and the Holy Spirit working there, it says, there is much reading of the Bible that is without profit. And in many cases, a positive injury. Did you pick that one up? Injurious to read the Bible. And you know, I have watched this. It's just what Sister White says here. When the Word of God is opened without reverence and without prayer, when the thoughts and affections are not fixed upon God or in harmony with His will, the mind is clouded with doubts, and in the very study of the Bible, skepticism strengthens. Skepticism. You become skeptical of what the Word of God has been telling you if we are not in prayer, in a communion with God. The audience chamber. We are here told that without opening the Word of God, without prayer and reverence, having our affections fixed upon God, that is prayer, communion with God. I read again. From Ministry of Healing, page 58, paragraph 3, where it says, we are to spend time with the Bible, yes? Spend time in reading, but not without prayer. All who are under the training of God need the quiet hour of communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. In them is revealed a life that is not in harmony, listening carefully, that is not in harmony with the world, its customs, or its practices. And they need to have a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge, a personal experience, in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. We must individually hear Him speaking to the heart. See what prayer is? It's a heart communication. It's spending time with the Bible, listening by prayer to what you are actually reading there. And it goes on to say, you must individually hear him speaking to your heart. When every other voice is hushed, and in quietness, we wait before him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. Have you ever had trouble recognizing God's voice? You are in the audience chamber of God, and what kind of an attitude must we come there? In the spirit of prayer, in a spirit of communion, of affectionate bond with him, and listening to him for the guidance he wants to give me through the word, where I'm listening in the quietness of nature and the moment of meditation, where there is no other voice, just God's voice in the Bible and me. And as I am doing this, when every other voice is hushed and I'm waiting for him, the silence within, without any confusions of other things coming into my mind, just one voice, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us be still and know that I am God. So there is a prayer time where we come to God in worship, in study, in meditation to commence the day between God and me alone. That is prayer. Listening to his voice speaking to me through the word. As I testified, that's what I did for that whole night. And he spoke to me personally, so relevantly to my predicament. And then I read another quote, Counsels on Health, page 423, paragraph 1. It says, Daniel was a statesman. Heavy responsibilities rested upon him. Yet three times a day he sought God, and the Lord gave him the Holy Spirit. So today, men may resort to the sacred pavilion of the Most High and feel the assurance of his promise. My people shall dwell in peaceable habitations, in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. All who really desire it can find a place for communion with God where no ear can hear but the one open to the cries of the helpless, distressed, and needy. The one who notices even the fall of a little sparrow, he says, you are more valuable than sparrows. So you need that time with God for prayer and Bible meditation. God speaking and you asking him for guidance and then listening to the voice. Having spent that time, having completed your time with God like that, in audience with God, now follow carefully. Follow carefully. Because you think you've had your worship, you think you've done your praying, and now you get up and get back into your work. Is that right? Follow closely. The Faith I Live By, page 225, paragraph 3. Many, right, you're a busy person, you've started the day and you've spent a little time with God. Listen carefully. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. the blessing of real communion with God. What was prayer? Communion with God. They are in too great a haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. Not a pause for a moment in his presence, but a personal contact with Christ to sit down in companionship with him. This is our need. So we spend that time with God, and then what it says here, we rush off and we don't continue to receive the ongoing blessing, because prayer is something more than just spending time with God once or twice or three times as we were just reading there. In other words, when you have spent time with God in worship and you have spent abiding time with him, don't just rush off and leave him behind. Because what is prayer? Romans 12, verse 12. One short little statement. And you know, until you really appreciate this, you fall into this trap of praying and then, now I've prayed, now I get on with what I've got to do. Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. So now you've spent time with the Word of God, now you rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. What's that mean? What is prayer? Communion with God. Spending that time with him alone, recognizing his voice through his word. Now, don't leave him there. Continue as you go about your daily life. Continuing every instant in prayer. Continuing every instant in prayer. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 to pick it up. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Very little short statement again. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying and communing with God once you've finished your worship. Continue. Pray without ceasing. Continuing instant in prayer. And was that not what Ephesians chapter 6 was saying in verse 18? Where it said, praying always. With all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto. Have you wondered what it means by watching unto prayer? Think about it. You've been looking at Jesus in your worship. You've been spending that time, and now you've got to get on with your work. Praying always and watching. What you saw in your devotion, keep on watching. Keep in touch with God, continuing instant in prayer. That is prayer. In the audience chamber with God, non-stop. Now that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? I've got to think about what I've got to do. I've got to, I'm busy, I'm driving to work, I'm doing this and doing that, and I can't keep on praying. Oh, yes, you can. Let me go on reading here from Councils on Health, CH, page 362. Here is now the continuing revelation of this. Remember I said in the beginning, let the Spirit of God help us here. Pay close attention and examine your life in the light of this. Sister White writes here in Councils on Health, CH, page 362. Just let me find it quickly. These are very important little statements that I'm going to be reading here, that we completely understand. 362, paragraph 2, it says, the way to the throne of God, the way to the throne of God is always open. You cannot be always on your knees in prayer. I've got to get up and do work, all right? I've spent time with the Lord in prayer. I've studied, I've listened to Him in His Word, I've identified His voice. And now I've got to get off my knees. So that doesn't mean you've got to stop praying. You cannot always be on your knees in prayer, but your silent petitions may constantly ascend to God for strength and guidance. When tempted, as you will be, you may flee to the secret place of the Most High. His everlasting arms will be underneath you. Let these words cheer you. Thou hast a few names in Sardis. He says, you shall walk with me in white. You will walk with me in white. You will walk with me. Don't leave God behind after worship. Stay there. I read again, CH page 424. I was just reading 424. That's what I just read, didn't I? Yeah, just let me, bear with me as I try to find my way through here. 424, yes. Paragraph 1. Where it says, if, notice here, because we're living today in a terrible rush, aren't we? There's a lot of activities going on, more so than ever before, and you are being rushed by expectations. If you're still working in the workforce, you're being crowded with so much. It says, if the rush of work is allowed to drive us from our purpose of seeking the Lord daily, we shall make the greatest mistakes. We shall incur losses, for the Lord is not with us. We have closed the door so that He cannot find access to our souls. I've prayed, I've studied, and my rush of work is calling me away from my time with God. No, you're making a mistake. You're closing the door. We have closed the door so that He cannot find access to our souls. But if we pray when our hands are employed, the Savior's ear is open to hear our petitions. If we are determined not to be separated from the source of our strength, Jesus will be just as determined to be right at our right hand to help us, that we may not be put to shame before our enemies. The grace of Christ can accomplish for us that which all our efforts will fail to do. You may make an effort. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You make an effort. But if you're doing that without Jesus constantly with you, then your efforts will fail. Isn't that true? How many times have you failed? The reason is you're not in communion with the Lord. You've shut the door. You've had a wonderful time with the Lord, but now you're dealing with everything on your own. This is what is written here. If we determine not to be separated, then Jesus will be just as determined to be right at my side. And I've made that experience where I was walking along and in my own little world, and then I was brought to think about God, and I turned my eyes to heaven in prayer, and whew, I felt the Holy Spirit come straight away, and I thought, I was shocked for a moment. He was just waiting for me. I read it here, didn't I? Jesus is just as determined to be right at your right hand to help you, that we may not be put to shame. The grace of Christ can accomplish for us that which all our efforts will fail to do. Those who love God and fear God may be surrounded with a multitude of cares and yet not falter or make crooked paths for their feet. Oh, how many people have said to me, I've been so busy, I couldn't help it. You've shut your door. The thing is, continually instant in prayer, continuing in watching thereunto, is what God wants you to do, that after you've spent time with Him, you continue under the guidance of His voice. You are not shutting out the influence of God right there in every busy time that you've got. No matter how busy you are, you can be driving on the road and talking with God and listening to Him. How many times, and I never forget the day I had just gone for a Bible study with somebody and I'd shared the powerful word of the prophecies, and as I was driving, the Lord just suddenly came and showed me a whole picture in front of me while I was driving. God can continue to speak to us after we've studied. Continue, stay with Him, continually instant in prayer. So let's summarize what we've covered. What is prayer? Prayer and study, where we are talking and listening. When we connect in the morning, in the first moments of our day, spending time with Him alone to hear His voice, and as I listen to His voice, stay listening. Continue to walk with unbroken communication with Him. Prayer is communion with God. Listening to correctly relate moment by moment to God. Moment by moment, continuing momentarily, instant in prayer. And as we appreciate that this is what is prayer, I want you to just have a look at yourself, because I've had to look at myself on this. As I just read here, how quickly we shut the door and go on after we've had our worship time, we shut the door and we don't continue in that prayer. We are doing our own thing now on what we are doing instead of continuing to listen to His voice. And how many times people have said to me, I have been impressed. And they think that the impression they had came from God, but it didn't harmonize with the voice of God in the Bible. Oh, before we do anything by impression, go back to the Word and pray and be in close communion with the Word, and the Holy Spirit will help you to understand the Word in practice. And so now, before I conclude, I want to meditate a little longer, because what we're doing here right now is that we are learning what Jesus has been saying in Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean people. Remember what he said there? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What's that mean? We've shut the door. We're not letting him in. He's knocking. He's still outside the door. He is saying, look, prayer life to you people is not a continuum experience. And so that's what I want us to really take aboard, because I've had to take this aboard in my own life. How easy it is to be distracted from listening to God's voice all day long. Prayer, communion with him. We are so rushed off our feet, we forget. When we're driving in the car, we are getting upset about this person or that in the driving. No, stay, talk with him as you're driving. I've got to practice this. It's so easy to lose touch, so easy to shut the door. So let's read from the Spirit of Prophecy once again, the solemn appeal. Let's really let this sink in. Solemn Appeal, S.A., page 70, paragraph 3. Communion with and love for God is very pleasant. It says, in such exercises, communion with and love for God, the practice of holiness, the destruction of sin, these are all pleasant. When, what exalted privilege, what exalted privilege, let's meditate this, communion with God, the Most High, the God of the universe, the majesty of heaven, communion with God, what an exalted privilege. Finite beings, we are finite, of dust and ashes, admitted through the mediation of Christ into the audience chamber of the Most High. In such exercises, the soul is brought into a sacred nearness with God and is renewed in knowledge and true holiness, and fortified against the assaults of the enemy. Don't we need that every moment of the day? Satan can catch you out if you've got the door shut. And what a privilege. Did you get that? We have an exalted privilege to spend time with them. Great mind of the universe. Really let that sink in. We need it drastically, badly. And in consideration of that, the audience with the majesty of the universe. Now I want to just conclude with something very interesting here. If you have that, and you come to the place where you come and worship God. Remember what we read. The majesty of the universe. The reverential communion with him. I'm in reverential communion with him in my mind all day long. And now I come to the house of God. Into audience with him. Can you discern another dimension here? With everything we've just been contemplating. And let me read it now from Child Guidance, page 543, paragraph 1. Now, heed this closely, brethren and sisters. We are living in a time today where respect for the house where we meet with God is shattered. Follow closely. It is for this reason that the house or sanctuary dedicated to God should not be made a common place. Its sacredness should not be confused or mingled with the common everyday feelings or business life. I walk into the churches of today, and there everybody's talking in the church about this, that, and the other thing. They've lost the plot of true reverence. The reverence of prayer. Follow carefully. There should be a solemn awe upon the worshippers as they enter the sanctuary, and they should leave behind all common worldly thoughts, not just words, thoughts. Because I'm in prayer, aren't I? With the majesty in the audience chamber in prayer. And I'm coming into the audience chamber of God's worship place. My thoughts need to be totally upon him. We leave behind all common worldly thoughts, for it is the place where God reveals his presence. This is what happens when we are here. God is revealing his presence. It is the audience chamber of the great and eternal God. Do you realize that when you walk into this place? On the Sabbath for divine service in Sabbath school. This is the place where God reveals his presence if I am in prayer. If I'm not in prayer, that's what happens. Listen carefully as I go on reading. It is the audience chamber of the great eternal God. Therefore, pride and passion, dissension and self-esteem, selfishness and covetousness, which God pronounces idolatry, are inappropriate for such a place. We're here to meet him. And now follow closely, children and parents, follow closely. Parents, it is your duty to have your children in perfect subjection, having all their passions and evil tempers subdued. And if children are taken to meeting, they should be made to know and understand where they are. Where are they? In God's audience chamber. It is the audience chamber of the great eternal God. They should be made to know and understand where they are, that they are not at home, but where God meets with his people, and they should be kept quiet and free from all play, and God will turn his face toward you to meet with you and bless you. And if order is so done, if order is observed in the assemblies of the saints, the truth will have better effect upon all that hear it. It will have a better effect because we're in tune. A solemnity which is so much needed will be encouraged, and there will be power in the truth to stir up the depths of the soul, and a death-like stupor will not hang upon those who hear. Believers and unbelievers will be affected. Can you see why the problem is in the world today? That people are misconstruing God's word because they come into the house of God, talk about everything else, and then their minds are all over the place and they're not heeding what God is saying. They're listening to what man is saying and they're dissecting the words of the man. And the impact is gone. That's what I just read. Some enlightenment here that we have just read. Prayer is communion with God in the audience chamber of God. And to the Laodicean people, he is saying, I'm outside. Hello, I want to have time with you. Eating and drinking. Can you see the problem of this age? And how is it with your soul? As I am studying this and as I am making it my own throughout all the past years, I have discovered how important this message is to put into practice so that we are not on our own mind exercises, but God's mind exercises, watching thereunto in constant communion. It is a privilege to be in communion with God, the majesty of the universe, to have him a personal Savior. Just you and he. So, let's stay in touch. Let's understand prayer and practice it, is my prayer, moment by moment. Amen.